From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
Once again, we count it a privilege to welcome you to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns concludes his second message in a series of studies explaining the basic teachings of each of the books in the New Testament. The focus in this message is the Gospel of Mark. Mark presents Christ as the servant worker. The book's main emphasis is upon Christ's activity among the people. He always had the time, the grace, and the power to meet the needs of individuals or of multitudes. But at the same time, there are numerous attestations to Christ's deity throughout this gospel. The demons whom he cast out knew who he was. Even those who crucified him confessed that he was the Son of God. Throughout this gospel, Mark shows us the accomplishments of the divine worker, revealed not only by his compassion on people, but also by his death, his resurrection, and his ascension to heaven. This gospel, which portrays Christ as the servant of God, concludes with his commission to all who believe on him to give their lives in service to him. In just a few minutes, Dr. Cairns will conclude his overview of Mark's gospel. Before he comes, we invite you to enjoy this brief devotional thought found in C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled Home Blessings. The text is Proverbs chapter 3, verse 33. He blesseth the habitation of the just. He fears the Lord, and therefore he comes under the divine protection, even as to the roof which covers himself and his family. His home is an abode of love, a school of holy training, and a place of heavenly light. In it there is a family altar, where the name of the Lord is daily had in reverence. Therefore the Lord blesses his habitation. It may be a humble cottage or a lordly mansion, but the Lord's blessing comes because of the character of the inhabitant and not because of the size of the dwelling. That house is most blessed in which the master and mistress are God-fearing people. But a son or daughter or even a servant may bring a blessing on a whole household. The Lord often preserves, prospers, and provides for a family for the sake of one or two in it who are just persons in his esteem, because his grace has made them so. Beloved, let us have Jesus for our constant guest, even as the sisters of Bethany had, and then we shall be blessed indeed. Let us look to it that in all things we are just, in our trade, in our judgment of others, in our treatment of neighbors, and in our own personal character. A just God cannot bless unjust transactions.
These days are drawing close to an end. God has been working on you, my dear friend. Your heart has been tender, though honor so cold. For you who are hungry, a message we hold. Would continue.
As you hear in the introduction to these broadcasts, Let the Bible Speak seeks to present Christ in all His fullness. Are you seeking to present the gospel of Jesus Christ to some loved one, some neighbor, or someone with whom you work? We're pleased to offer you a booklet by Dr. Alan Cairns that is an excellent evangelistic tool. It's entitled, The Gospel of Salvation, Full, Free, and Final. In this little book, Dr. Cairns finds a balance between those who admire the message but keep it to themselves, and those who, in their haste to present the gospel, do not take time to examine its true content, and therefore never really present it in its beauty and fullness. Dr. Cairns understands the gospel, as it is presented by Christ, to be the fullness of God, and he presents it freely to all who will believe. Furthermore, he explains that the salvation declared in the gospel, once received and experienced, is final. The believer is kept by the power of God, and nothing can separate him from the love of God. For a free copy of The Gospel of Salvation, just contact us. You may write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may email your request to ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Ask for The Gospel of Salvation, Full, Free, and Final by Alan Cairns.
Thank you. would think, if you read through this book and hear the very demons confess him, you would think then that you would have to say, the whole gospel train is in motion, the mighty acts of God are going on, and everybody's going to fall down and worship. The proof was there. But watch it carefully. You'll find that there was great antagonism to the divine worker. In fact, the Lord Jesus himself said in chapter 8 and in verse 31, he said that he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things, be rejected of the elders, the chief priests and scribes, and be killed. And that marked a turning point, because now you're going to see the antagonism take a new direction. But actually the antagonism was there throughout the whole ministry. From chapter 1, the devils had opposed him. And now he shows that those men who are under the control of Satan are going to go the whole way and put him to death. You see, there's a truth there that we would do well to remember. The world would rather forfeit the good benefits of the ministry of Christ than to bow before him and acknowledge him as Lord. And there are people in this meeting, and that's exactly the way it is with you. You know the benefits that Jesus Christ gives. You know the release from the uncleanness of sin and Satan. You know the pardon that Christ can give and does offer. You know the blessings of grace, the peace of mind, the cleanness of conscience, the assurance of eternal life, the open door to heaven, the salvation from hell. You know the benefits of the gospel, and yet you are willing to forego all the blessings and all the benefits of the intervention of Christ's power rather than to acknowledge Christ as Lord. That's the very wickedness of the antagonism that we find in the Gospel of Mark. Throughout Mark, you've got this theme of confrontation. You would think that with the proof that this is the Son of God among them, you would think that people would bow before him, but no, there's constant confrontation. Now, here's an interesting thing. Chapters 1 to 9, Christ is fighting demonology. He was in Galilee. But after chapter 9, there's not one other recorded instance of Christ casting out a devil. Because from chapter 10, he moves down into Judea. Now, this is something I don't want to get off on, but let me suggest it to you. Why that difference? Judea, for all its apostasy, for all the wickedness of the scribes and Pharisees, Judea still was the seat of the temple. It was still the place of the reading of the law. It was still the place of the exposition of the law. Jesus himself acknowledged this. He says the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. He says, do what they tell you, but don't do what they do. In other words, as they expound the law, take it, but they themselves are hypocrites. But do you see the power of the Word of God? Do you see the protection that the Word of God gives? In Galilee, far removed from the influence of the temple, Galilee of the Gentiles, Galilee even beyond Samaria, Galilee from which it was difficult even to get down for the normal yearly services of the temple. Galilee was a hotbed of demonism. But there wasn't one case here recorded in Judea. That's not to say there wasn't any exhibition of this in Judea, but the emphasis is clear. There's a vast difference between the sin of Galilee and the sin of Judea. Each of them is sin. I remember talking to Jordan Kahn when he was in Northern Ireland. And he said, you people do not appreciate the protection that the gospel of Jesus Christ has given this nation. If you lived where I lived, in the midst of heathenism, you would see the devil and his works in a way that you have never imagined them. The power of hell rampant, possessing men. This is no charismatic frenzy or folly. Possessing men just as foully and filthily as in the days of the Lord Jesus Christ in Galilee. There is a protective power that the gospel gives even to a nation like Judea when it was undergoing apostasy. But in Galilee he fought demonology. In Judea he fought apostasy. Not only that, but even his friends and his family opposed him. Here's a little thing that the Church of Rome should take note of. In chapter 3, verse 21, when his friends heard of it, they went out to lay hold of him. For they said, he is beside himself. Now, who were these friends? Look at verse 31. There came them, his brethren and his mother. So even Mary's faith seemed to fail. There came his brethren and his mother, standing without, and they sent unto him, calling him. That's the reason why the Lord Jesus turned, as it appeared, aside from Mary at this time and said, who is my mother? Who is my brother? They had come to take him home. He is beside himself. You imagine the mother who gave birth to the Son of God on earth, now lining up with the unbelief of the half-brothers who had lived in the same home. They had seen the sinless life. They had heard the words from the mouth of divine wisdom incarnate. And yet, they spout the devil's line. And they say, he is beside himself. And of course, that antagonism led ultimately to the crucifixion, the greatest exhibition of the hatred and the antagonism of men and devils. But, as we close the Gospel of Mark, let me just give an overview and speak for a minute about the accomplishments of the divine worker. And here I'm only going to list them. First, he conquers every power of hell. That's the picture in Mark. We're living in a day when there is a terrible manifestation of hellish power. We're living in a day when the Constitution of the United States has been perverted to grant protection to the worship of Satan and say that it is a religious equivalent to the worship of Jehovah. That's a wicked day. We're living in a day when the mass media, for the most part, toe the devil's line and they spout the devil's message. We're living in a day when the very churches are preaching, for the most part, the devil's gospel. And one would be tempted to throw up his hands in horror and say that all is lost. But no, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever, and he breaks the power of sin and of Satan. He conquers every power of hell. If you have come to this meeting this morning destroyed by sin and Satan, dominated by sin and Satan, then let me tell you, he still is the mighty conqueror. Second thing, he meets all the needs of the whole man. He cast out devils. He healed bodies. He healed minds. He healed souls. He got people right with God here. He got them right with each other. He got them right for eternity. He meets all the needs of the whole man. And then he presents the perfect ransom to God in the place of many. In the shedding of his blood, he has satisfied divine justice to be the savior of sinners. And then we find that he rises again from the dead, physically, in the body in which he was crucified. He ascends into heaven. This is the gospel that, as it concludes, points us to the ascendant Christ. You see what that means? It means that he's still the servant. Oh, he's the glorified servant, but he's still serving his people. He came and he gave his life in service. He gave his life in sacrifice. And now he is interceding at the right hand of God. And that's why in Mark 16, at the very end of this gospel, you have this glorious truth that he protects his people. In verse 17 and verse 18, you have a statement that has led a lot of people just to argue. But he says, "He that these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. In my name they shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover." All those things have happened. Doesn't say that they'll all happen to every individual Christian, or that they'll happen in every age of Christianity, but they have followed. You'll find the day of Pentecost and following. But the whole point here is, chapter 1 starts with Christ being driven by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil, where he was surrounded by the wild beasts, and he conquered. Chapter 16 ends the gospel with his people going out into the world as his servants. They're going out into a wilderness, and they're surrounded by wild beasts and noxious serpents. But Jesus Christ protects them. And then he empowers them. Because verse 20 finishes the gospel with this glorious statement. They went forth and preached everywhere. Listen, the Lord working with them. How did the gospel start? Christ working on earth for men. How does the gospel finish? Christ working from heaven through men. The Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. What a wonderful end to the gospel of Christ, the servant, Christ the worker. The Lord of glory has condescended to become a servant in life and in death to save us from the slavery of Satan and sin. He has power to save, for he alone is incarnate deity. Listen, Mark's gospel is look and see. Who is this mighty worker? Listen, you and I must come to terms with Jesus Christ. That's why the very first chapter, verse 15 of Mark, tells us, repent and believe the gospel. Repent and believe the gospel, and thereby become a servant of him who became your servant to be your Savior.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.